Matthew chapter 13. Today's lesson, we're going to be doing it on the parable of the sower. In fact, all of today, we'll be dealing with all the parables in Matthew chapter 13, but very specifically this morning, we are going to deal with this parable in particular. So by definition, what is a parable? According to the dictionary, a parable is a simple story to teach a moral or spiritual lesson, according to the dictionary, of course. But let's not misunderstand this. Just because the dictionary says it's a story doesn't mean that the parables that Christ speaks are fairy tales. They're not mother's nursery rhymes. They're not anything of that sort. These are real events that could happen. And what did Jesus use these parables for? Quite frankly, he used them to teach us a lesson. More specifically, based on the Bible, a parable is taking an earthly lesson and teaching us a spiritual meaning, something that we would not be able to do ourselves. And he teaches these lessons in a manner that anyone can understand. It doesn't matter if you're well-educated or if you have any clue about farming in general, as this one's going to speak of, but you can understand this quite simply. The parables, they also have another goal. They can separate the true believers from those who just are reading the Bible for fun. And that could be quite understood if we look at what happens when we will do this. We'll look at what the disciples do. When they finish up, what do? They ask for more answers. They want to know more about what Christ is speaking about here. And we'll look at those too. But that's the difference between somebody that's a firm believer and someone who is not. It's someone who wants to get in there, wants to dig at the meat of the word and find out, what is it really meaning? What are these words that we're reading? So let's begin in Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to be reading the first few verses. It said in 1-4. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood out on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. One of the things we need to understand is when they're out there planting these seeds, they aren't doing it with the fancy machinery that we have today. They're out there, they had a little basket on their hip or a satchel or some sort. They would reach in there and grab it and throw it out there as liberally as they could. So seeds are going to be going everywhere. Now the term that they use here in the King James, at least, they use the wayside. Now, that's not a word we normally use. More of the word that we would use, or more of the phrase that we would use, is we're talking about the beaten path, the path that everybody walks on. So it would land in that area. So one of the things that I really like about this parable is that Jesus himself explains it. So we don't need to go look at some fancy commentaries or look at any other men's definitions as to what these mean. Christ himself explains it. So let's go to Matthew 13, verse 19. And we're going to see the explanation as to what we're talking about when it comes to the seeds on the wayside. So verse 19, it says, When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth him away, which was sown in his heart. This is he which has received the seed by the wayside. Let's explain that to us a little differently. Now, when we first look at the word understandeth, we think of somebody that's, you know, they're not very intelligent. Somebody who just didn't get it. Unfortunately, that's not exactly what it means. Especially not in this case. The truth of the matter is, these are people that we know of, that you go knock on their door, they slam the door back in your face. These are people that send their dogs after you, they have their shotgun out on you. They don't want to hear the word. And what happens to them here? It says the wicked one comes and catches their heart. These are just people that, no matter what we do, they're not going to listen. They're not going to answer. They don't want to understand. That's what it means by they don't understand. It's not a matter of fact that they're unintelligent to be able to understand it, a little child can understand this stuff. It's simply the fact they have a closed mind and a closed heart. I know we can apply that to other people in our lives. I know when we were door knocking not too long ago that it happens. This is just what you have. Anytime you want to talk to somebody in the streets, they just blow you off. We can apply that to ourselves, though, as well. If we would look at our sins in our lives, the problems that we have in our lives, we can think of this as, how many of us like to be told what to do? Come up to you and somebody says, hey, you really shouldn't be doing that. No, just leave me alone. I'm fine. We can apply that to that as well. We need to be very careful. Going back to Matthew 13, 5 through 6. Some fell upon the stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Again, we have these seeds that are falling on the rocks, and we know that anything that falls on the rocks, it doesn't last. As it says, the sun dries them up and kills them and wilts them away. Then Christ explains it here in verse 20 to 21. It says, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth. Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when the tribulations or persecutions arise because of the world, by and by he is offended. What we have here is somebody, they've listened to the word. They're excited. They want to learn more. But then, as we know, we're going to have trials. We're going to have persecutions. People are not going to like what the Bible says, so then they're not going to like us. And this is a person that slips away. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 here. It says, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we have walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So we have a person here that sees this stuff. He knows he's supposed to be doing wrong. His friends are saying, why aren't you running with us anymore? And this is a person, like I said, that falls away. But I want to point out something that Christ says here. And I know we have troubles doing that ourselves, or at least I personally do, is that when somebody falls away, we blame ourselves. Look at the verse here again in verse 20 or 21. Yet hath he no root in himself. Christ is blaming the person that falls away. He's not blaming us. If that person chooses not to obey the gospel, the person that chooses not to follow the commandments, it's on their shoulders. So long as we're doing everything we're supposed to be doing, the blame is on this person. It kind of reminds me of that phrase, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. Well, this is the person. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'll be looking at verse 58 here. And this is going towards, you know, even though we're doing our work, even though we're doing everything we can, and this person still falls away. To me, this is a very encouraging verse to remember every time when we study with somebody, or any time we're doing work for the Lord. Verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If we're doing what we're supposed to, doing what we're told, it is not in vain. Do not be discouraged if someone chooses not to keep up the commandments that they're supposed to. Okay, back in Matthew. We're looking at verse 7 here. Matthew 13, 7 says, and some fell upon the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them out. Let's go to look at verse 22 and see what this exactly means. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Again, he's saying this is somebody they've taken root, they've grown up in the church, but they haven't given up everything else in the world. This is somebody that's trying to have the best in the world and have the best in Christ. As we know, that doesn't work. You can't favor two things. In fact, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. When I think of this, when I think of the thorns, this is the verse I think of. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. There's nothing wrong with having riches. There's nothing wrong with having good things in life. It's just where are you putting your... Where are you stacking everything into? Are you putting all your chips in God, or are you putting all your chips trying to get both? It's not going to work. It's not going to work. This is the kind of person, like I said, that is in the thorns. Thing is this could happen to any of us. We could be the person that's focusing on buying a brand new car, just a brand new shiny toy or tractor in this case here. Whatever it may be, where's our focus? If our focus is on God, He'll provide. Maybe not in the time that we want it, but He'll provide. Do not be choked up by the thorns. Let's go back to Matthew 13:8. It says, but other fell into the good ground and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, and some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Again, verse 23, we'll see the explanation by Christ. It says, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Let's actually look back here real quick in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to see what happens when, how we can tell the difference between the one that's in the thorns and this person that we're talking about that's in the good soil. Because the person that's in the thorns, it looks just like the rest of us. It could be me, it could be you, it could be any of us. But let's look at the difference. Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to be looking at verses 17 and 18 here. 17 and 18, it says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. If you want to know how, if you're in that good soil or not, look at the things that are coming from you. Look at the fruits that you're bearing. Are you bearing forth good things, or are there more problems coming around from you? That's an easy way to indicate which one you're in. And again, you should know where your heart is in the first place. One of the things, let's point out. The people that are in the good soil, these are the people that are in the pews every time the doors are open. These are people that aren't just simply punching a time clock. These are people that aren't here just to make themselves feel holier than thou for the next week. I've bumped into many of those people like that in the world. So they just show up to go to church just to make themselves feel better for a week. These people that are in the good soil are not like this. These are the people that sit at home in the life and they study. I know I beat that over the head all the time, but they study, they study, they study. They use their example from Matthew chapter 4 with Christ every time the devil came up to him. And he said, it was quoted, it is spoken, it is written. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. The good soil are the ones that have scripture in their hearts. The ones that have laid up the word in their hearts so they can't sin against God. Matthew chapter 13:9 says, who hath ears, let him hear. We talked about this last Sunday afternoon. When Christ is saying, those who have ears, he's not saying, were you born with ears or were you not? I don't know. I can't tell. He knows everybody was born with ears, except for those few rare ones. What he's actually telling us to do is listen up. I've got important things to tell you. Hear me out. This is where we get the understanding part, is are we actually listening to them, or are we just in one ear and out the other? Drop down to verses 13 through 16 here. It says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing not, and hearing they hear not, do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their ears they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Well, verse 16 says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. There's no denying that we can look outside in this world, not at the things that are man-made, but the things that are out there in nature, God's creations. We know He created them. There's no denying the fact that if we open the Bible, we're going to hear God's word. But we actually have to look for it. It's not just going to be thrown at us in our lap and saying, here it is. Open our ears, open our eyes, study. Listen to what Christ has to teach us. Listen to what God wants us to understand. Sad thing is, people would rather go with the flow of the crowd. They want to understand that a lot of people I've dealt with or talked to at work or previous jobs, I should say, is, well, I don't want to hear anything about the Bible. There's too many people out there. They're terrible. I don't want to hear it. And they just completely close themselves down, completely ignoring it. And then they put very little effort into seeking out the truth. You get that with some people that are new converts. If we're not working with them, they're not going to have much of a desire to continue to grow. And we need to help them. What we can learn from this parable, because we know that these parables were meant to teach a lesson, and that is what it has done. We see with the seed on the wayside, there's just people out there that are not going to listen to us. And that's okay. Just keep doing the work. There's going to be people out there, again, that just don't want to hear God's word. As soon as they hear you mention the word God or the Bible or Jesus, they're going to tell you to be quiet. Probably not in those words, but they're going to take you out. With the seed that is thrown on the rock, we see that there are some out there that just simply do not take root, that are going to start out real quick and then just wither and die. We've seen our fair share of those examples as well. People that we think are doing great, and then things of the world just pull them away, and then next thing we know, they're not showing up anymore. They're not wanting to do studies. They're not wanting to do anything. And then there's how I define it is the fake it to make it people. We have the people that are covered in the roots. They're pretending to be faithful. They show up at church. But then at home, they'd rather have the worldly pleasures. But let's face it, to be a Christian of the good soil, it's going to come at a cost. It's going to have to require us to make some sacrifices in our life. There's another lesson for us here. Is that if we're out there teaching, if we're the ones that are out there teaching there, but not just me up here front, but everybody in this room, if you're out there talking to people and you're teaching your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones, don't give up. If you can't reach one person, so be it. Move on. Don't give up. Your work is not in vain. And quite honestly, if anybody that's been working out there, they know that there's going to be more people out there that refuse to listen than there are those that are just going to fall into the other three categories. Unfortunately, that's the sad truth. Or they don't want to be told something that's correct versus what they've been taught. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. I know I'm going outside of Matthew. It's kind of scary. Mark chapter 16. This verse is 15 through 16. And he saith unto them, go you all into the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Now look, he's saying go out there and teach. He's not saying, okay, only go talk to the people that are listening. Talk to everybody. Go out to the world and teach. Don't just skip doors. Don't, maybe they won't listen to me. I recall a time when I was sitting down at lunchtime talking to somebody at work, and somebody I would have never thought to talk to came up to me and started asking me questions about the Bible. Teach every person in the world. Don't leave anybody out. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. If we remember back in our parables, our Beatitudes of Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 is to mourn the people. We see people out there that are lost. We are to mourn them. We are to help them. They need to be taught just as much as you and I did at one point in time, and how much we need to continue to grow as well. Question, I guess, or I should say a challenge, because I like to lead challenges. Are we going to be like the wise man? Matthew chapter 7, let's go there. Or I should say, go back there. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Talking about the wise man, and I know the children have a song for this. 24 through 27, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And then the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto the foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came down, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was that fall of it. For us today, if we have been listening to God's word, are we going to be like the person that just says, I don't want to hear no more? I don't think you're that person because you're in this room right now. Are we going to be like the second case, the one that's built on the rock? Are we going to wither away and die because we don't want to change? We don't want to put Christ as our rock or make him our cornerstone? We're going to be like the third case where, well, you know, half of my cornerstone is going to be Christ, and half of it's going to be my worldly pleasures. Which is it going to be? Or do you want Christ to be that full, perfect cornerstone for you in your life? That's what we're referring to here. He that hears this will continue to do what he asks us to do. He will build his life upon Christ, that rock. And that's how we start. From hearing. And then Hebrews 11. It's a great chapter for faith. If you haven't read it, please do. I know I've referenced it quite a bit, but Hebrews chapter 11, all about faith. Verse 6 specifically tells us that we must have faith in order to please God. Without that faith, it's nothing. We have to hear him, we have to listen, and we have to believe that he is a rewarder, as verse 6 talks about. We saw that in 1 Peter chapter 4, I believe it was verses 3 and 4, that we were to cast off our old lives, specifically if they involved the sin. If you're out carousing and drinking, you have to change your ways. And there's other things in that list as well, and then throughout the Bible. But we are to repent, to change our ways, to match what Christ wants from us. Acts 17:30. Tells us very specifically that God wants us all to repent. It says men, but if you look at the Greek word, it does actually mean both. It's neutral, gender neutral. So ladies are not off the hook. And then Christ, he reassures us. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 to 33, if you want to read those. It says we're to confess before men that he's the Son of God. And what's he going to do? He'll confess us before God, the Almighty Creator. How much more amazing is that? Have a friend like him that will take care of us. He can be our spokesperson. I'm not good enough to talk to God myself. I hope you don't feel that way either. We have Christ that would be in our corner as long as we confess him and do his will. That's amazing. Are we going to fall to the wayside? Are we going to be the rock, or growing up on the rock? Are we going to grow up in thorns and be tempted by the worldly desires? Or are we going to continue to follow exactly what Christ tells us to do? In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter tells us to repent and tells us to get baptized for the remission of our sins, to get forgiven of those sins. And we know in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, that this is something we must continue to do. We talked about it a little bit this morning, is we don't just get baptized and call it good. This is a lifelong journey. If you feel that you're going to be the one that just gets baptized and that's it, you're among the ones in the thorns. This is a lifelong journey. If there's any that need to respond, any that need to have prayers from the congregation, now's the time to come forward as we stand and sing this next song.